The Lord is good?
All the time.
All right. Welcome again to today's school of prayer. We trust that God has been leading us by His Spirit to pray for the last 30 minutes. And we are going to share the word of God and then possibly resume praying. All right, before we do, we always take our declaration of understanding. So let's do that again today as we start. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. God is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. He's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let's take our seats so that we can quickly get into the teaching and then finish on time and go home. All right, the Lord is good. Okay, I want to share something with us briefly today. I just felt like the Holy Spirit wants us to be reminded of some basic things. We've been talking about guarding your land, keeping your territory. I want to just explain the particular principle again to us on what prayer is about. Now, there are different aspects to prayer, as we know. All right? There are different aspects. All of them, we've said again and again, they are prayers of faith. There's no genuine prayer that is not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is just not one. No. All prayers are prayers of faith. But under that, there are different types. Of course, what makes prayer a prayer is that you are talking to the Father, you're talking to the Son. That's what prayer is. So if you are worshiping, that is, what you are doing is that you are giving thanks and you are praising, is a form of prayer. If you are confessing your sins, it's also a form of prayer, actually, because you're asking for forgiveness. That's also a form of prayer. Now, if you are making requests, Lord, do this for me, do that for me or my household, all right? That's a form of prayer also. We tend to call that kind of prayer supplication, all right? You are making requests. But if you are making requests for somebody else, the person may be close, maybe may be distant, it may be a nation, it may be the Church of Christ, it may be somebody you met on the road you have compassion on, somebody you feel like you should share the gospel of God with. We call all those, generally speaking, intercessory prayer. Please, don't be so dogmatic about which one is which. I'm just trying to say, forget the names, but all of these are forms of prayer. Now, I talk about what I call prayer, like aids to prayer, okay? For example, agreement is an aid to prayer. It's not a special type of prayer because it's what you are now praying about that makes it a type. So prayer of agreement is when two of you agree on something that concerns both of you and you have to sync, because one thing God doesn't like, or something that one thing that disrupts spiritual dynamics, equilibrium, causing turbulence rather than straight laminar flow, is disagreement when two people are involved in something. Do you get my point? Yes, it can really cause problems. It makes it difficult to get answers to prayer. And sometimes what we are supposed to work on as a church is to for us to be able to come into an agreement on a matter. In fact, remember, I wrote a book last time before the last elections were held, National Election Act. Remember the title of the book? What was it? Let Us Agree. Let Us Agree. Please let me stay there for a moment. We went into that election. Thank God God didn't listen to everybody. But a lot of times we just go in and create confusion for God. So I wrote, I said, let us agree. And again, you cannot agree on fine details. Neither does God want you to agree on fine details. But there are some things that are fundamental that you should come into agreement on. Please, let me just say this in passing. You do not have the right or the ability to ask that one particular person should win an election. You can ask, pray for your friend. I hope you get my point. Because you are in a party. Like now, if I'm in PDP, I have to employ my power to want PDP to win. Do you follow? That's just being a good party man. Okay? But I know where to draw the line. when it comes to imposing something for God. If I'm in Labour Party, I'm in APGA, I'm in APC, I'm in NNPP, I can understand that disposition. But as a citizen, it is totally wrong for you to impose a person and say, God, make this person win. Why? Who can tell me why? Yeah, God appoints, but I'm talking about you making requests about somebody. Okay, I'll tell you. God said clearly, you don't know the heart of anybody. Only God knows the heart of any person. If you were in Israel and you had to pray that somebody win an election, you know who you'll have prayed for? Absalom. Oh, go and check it. Absalom would have been your number one choice. And he knew what to do. He knew what to say to impress you. He knew where to wait for you. He knew how to manipulate. And he was so handsome. All the women in Israel would vote for him. You know, Absalom was very handsome. His hair used to grow. He used to cut it once a year at a national event. Coverage everywhere. But you would have voted for him. But his heart was not right. Let me just drop something for you again along the line. I was studying my scriptures. And it hit me again. Nothing new. If you go and read that First Samuel, I think around chapter 3. And when God was speaking about the house of Eli, all right, that was going to remove them from being priests. He said he will find for himself a faithful priest who will do all my desire. I said exactly what he said about David. When he removed Saul, exactly what he said about David. I will bring a man after my heart who will do all my desires. So no matter how good you think somebody is, you don't know whether he will do what God, not what you want to. Some things you think that are good that you want, not God's desire. Anyway, let me not forget that. So that's why you can't impose anything on God. And I wrote in that book, how can we come into agreement? There are things we can easily agree on, no matter the political party we are in. For example, we can all agree there should be good governance. Is that not so? We can all agree that there should be justice. We can all agree that there should be fairness. We can all agree, on so many fundamental things, that there should be freedom to preach the gospel. We can all agree on that. And we can easily ask God, and there will be no disparity. And we'll still go out and campaign differently. We all agree that, Father, whoever will support your cause, who will do your desire, we are asking you to enable the person to come into office. We are asking you, to bring people along with him or her. Notice the ways you pray. Then after that, you go to your APGA, you go to your Labour Party, you go to your APC, go to your PDP, and continue campaigning because you think your candidate is the answer, but you don't know. Only God knows. So prayer of agreement is when you try and, when you have something involves two persons. Sometimes you can put yourself into another person's matter. It's possible to boost the person's faith. It's very important that if you're a preacher, you're a pastor, okay? You are ministering to people. Make sure they're in agreement with you when you're praying for them. It's very important. A lot of people come for prayer because they say they must go. I told her, I heard Sadu say something the other time. Was about to pray for one woman. She came, he traveled somewhere to go and preach. I think another country anyway, not India. So a woman came up for prayer, and the Holy Spirit just told him flat, don't pray for her. She came with a baby, her child. Don't pray for the child. Tell her to go and see the doctor. And we're like, what? I'm supposed to be a preacher. But he knew the voice of the Holy Spirit, so he obeyed. Told the woman, I'm not going to pray for your child to be healed. You should go and see a doctor. But I'm going to pray for you that, are you getting my point? Everything will go well. The woman broke down in tears. I said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I never believed in this prayer for healing in the first place. I only came because my church will say I should come. And if I don't come now, they say I'm not a good Christian. But the Spirit knew and had mercy on her. Just tell her, hey, oh girl, we won't pray for you and your child. And told the pastor, don't. And of course, he prayed for her that she will go well, that everything will go. And everything went well in the hospital. Do you get my point? So that's why it's very important. And I've seen preachers do something sometimes. You are praying for, you say, come and pray for people, and then just praying for them. I don't like, how do you do that? They need to talk to you. Why? Because you have to be in agreement. My first experience, I told you when I was in school, they said, go and pray for some people to receive the Holy Spirit. I went and that was when I stopped closing my eyes to pray for anybody. This happened, look, what I'm telling you, around 1989. I've not forgotten till today. But if I see that lady, I'm even recognize her, even though it's been a long time. I closed my eyes and we're praying. Then I opened my eyes and they were laughing. Two of them were laughing. So I paused the prayer. What is funny? Then they brought the scriptures to show me some things that were wrong. I didn't argue with them whether they were right or wrong. I just said, why did you now come out in the first place? They were supposed to receive the Holy Spirit. Argument on some things. Ah. So I said, please, there's no point. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back inside. Come and sit down. Because the meeting was going on. You know, we're ministering to people. So I was supposed to pray for some people. I said, what? Everybody, go back inside. Just go and sit down. If they receive, they have received everything they're going to receive today. Leave that. They're not going to get anything more because they were not in agreement with me. That is what I call an aid to prayer. You have to be in agreement. If the prayer involves more than one person, don't force, say, always go to the lower level of faith, not the higher level of faith. Because you that has faith level 10, you already have level 1, you have 2, you have 3, you have all the way to 10. If that person is on level 3, you come down to 3. Do you get my point? Talk, find out where what level the other individual is, and pray. Don't force someone, but you must be healed by faith. We're not taking medicine. Say, Pastor, may I take Panadol back? They pay me. Give the person the paracetamol. Wait for 30 minutes and continue praying. It's not a sin. After some people are drinking agbo and they say they are not taking medicine. Have you not seen them? They are using all kinds of natural herbs. And they say, I don't take medicine. I say, this agbo you just drank, what is it? So you go to the level, all right, where both of you can be in agreement. So agreement is an aid to prayer. And it's very important. It's very important. Praying with somebody boosts your faith. And if somebody is ill or going through trouble and you are praying for the person, it is not show to tell the person, I'm praying for you. It's not show. The idea is that you want to let the person know you are not alone. There are people with you. And I'm one of them. I hope you're getting my point. There's one man I heard of, I won't mention the name, a former president of Nigeria. I heard a story about his life. One day, he was president. He just met some people. Some people, you know, people were not greeting him, meet president, so and so and so. So one man, an old, not a small boy, a senior man too. You know, as we're showing, he said, sir, we just want you to know that we are praying for you. He looked at him, told him to wait. I told him to wait. After everybody left, come, what did you say? I'm praying for you, sir. You're praying for me? Wait. He dragged the man to Abuja, found him an office, found him a position. Hey, that, hey, if you are praying for me, you can't go away. Every day I hear critics. People wish me bad. And the man just told him in passing, I just want you to know we are praying for you, sir. That's how I got into government. And they found him a position. Say, I want praying people around me. Because a lot of people around me, they are wicked people that go to Babalawo, that want something bad to happen. So they can say they said so. So it's not a matter of show if you tell somebody, I'm praying for you. It's an encouragement for the person. No faith. Let me say something about faith again. Faith is like water. If it is there, it makes the place wet. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that's how faith is. So you can pour water into somebody's life and increase the fellow's faith. And if faith is there, yea, it activates. It activates. Even now, please get me. Get what I'm going to say in context. God is even, please, which word can I, I'm looking for a word, is, I don't use the word afraid. He respects faith a lot. That if he wants to punish somebody, he said, make sure he doesn't get faith. Because if faith is activated by chance in that guy's life, you suspend my judgment and I'm forced to bless the individual. Faith is that powerful. So he told her, go and deaden their ears. Say to them, see and don't perceive. Hear and don't understand. He said, because if they hear and understand, they see, they perceive, they turn. I have to heal them. So pouring faith, see, let me say it to us again. Faith is not assumption. It's a creative force. Let me explain. Your name is, okay, my name is Peter. There are two sides to this. There is unbelief or doubt, and there is faith. If I'm walking in faith, do you get my point? And the faith in my heart says, I'm going from here to that next floor, and then maybe I'm taking a few steps down. And I look away, and I continue to step, but somebody removes the steps. You know what faith does? Faith makes me step as if the steps are there. And let me say something. A lot of time in life, you have been helped like that, you don't know. Your faith has created things that you did not know were missing. But you know, if you are moving and somebody suddenly tells you, hey, look, the steps are gone. As soon as you look down, you are halfway down, you suddenly fall. Not because the steps are gone, but because faith was removed from your heart. Are you sure? Read the story of Peter now. He was walking on water, and his faith kept the water solid enough for him to step on it. The moment he looked away from the source of faith, which was focusing on the Lord, what happened to him? He began to sink. So please, I've said it many times. Let me say it one more time. Don't ever think what you hear every day is just information. No, you are part of a game. People are playing war. Let's not use war, game. You're part of a fight. You're part of a battle going on. And so when you hear things, are you getting my point? They are engineered. The Bible calls them fairy darts. They are called fairy darts. So negative words are fairy darts. What do you mean by fairy darts? Fire-tipped arrows. Those days in warfare, there were no intercontinental ballistic missiles. All these missiles that they are firing every day into Israel from Iran now, they're not there. All the ones going from Russia to Ukraine and back, they are not there. They were not there. The closest they had was for people to shoot arrows. Sometimes they use slings to fire balls of fire. But sometimes the men will just go, just put stuff at the tip of their arrows and shoot. And without entering into a town, a village, or a city, they set it on fire. Now the spiritual component of that, or the spiritual type, is words. So when you hear words, they can set your heart on fire, and then you lose a battle. I hope you're getting my point. Then everywhere, like I talked about the last time, that we are supposed to contribute faith into our environment. We're supposed to contribute faith. Somebody shared a video with me this afternoon. The woman talked about how, he said, look, I'm not a politician. In fact, what happened was that he talked about this is Nigeria's best moment. And he compared it to something that happened in America in the 70s. And he gave his breakdown and everything. Now, please, by faith we understand that the words were framed by what? The word of God. So that what we see did not come out of things that are what? Visible. So, let's not go into the visible aspect. But he used the visible aspect to show that people should know that, man, this is an opportunity. Golden opportunity. That if you do what you're supposed to do now, in 20 years' time, say, look, the Dangotes and Co. will not be there then. As the whole, he was just talking about things. Now, this is what I was hearing. The person interviewing him now said, what you are saying now was what this minister said that they almost killed him. He said, yes, he's a politician. I'm not a politician. So he can't say it. Do you follow my point? He said, but I'm not a politician. I'm not a politician. He's a business person. Finally, one of Nigeria's biggest tech companies. And he was explaining that, look, if we handle this thing well, jobs are going to rush into the... He was just describing stuff. But this is where I'm going. One of the reasons why I like that video, and if you saw it, to forward them around, you see, a lot of people, their faith is stolen. And when faith is stolen from you, first, you will make wrong choices. You will throw away valuable things and exchange it for change. Do you get my point? You will throw away things that are valuable because faith was removed from you. That's what happened to Eve. Her faith was taken away. She had a valuable garden. She had a valuable relationship. But Satan came and told her it's better outside. And you know what she did? She threw away that which she had, which was valuable, and exchanged it for nothing. Now, this is what I'm making. You see, when faith is taken away from us, we throw valuable things away. And listen to this. When enough of us throw away faith, we create the opposite of the will of God around us. That's where I was going. If enough of us have faith, we create the will of God. So when people are talking sometimes, they try to get you to be reasonable. Please, don't go for being reasonable if the word of God is not the center of the reason. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Don't be impressed by reason. If the word of God is not the center of the reason. Because what they call reason is actually manipulated also. There's no real reason out there. Only faith gives you true understanding. I read a bit of science and all of that. One man of God saw me the other day. He said, Pastor Banky, you don't believe any of these things. I said, they are all lies. He said, how, you never, I said, why will I believe? You think, you know what they call science out there? Eh? A huge portion of it is pure politics. Seriously, it's pure politics. The area you'll even know is mental health science. Eh? Mental health science now is dominated by politics, political agenda. As a young medical student, I know the books we read for psychology and psychiatry. As time went on, they changed the books. What they called disorders were now called normal. And what was normal has now been called a type. For example, now they call you cisgender. You too, you are cisgender. Don't look at it. And one guy got angry. What do you mean I'm cisgender? He said, I'm just a man. He said, no, you are cisgender. So the idea is that cisgender is a type of gender, while transgender is another one. And if anybody believes in abstinence from sex before marriage, there is a psychiatric word for it as of today. Yes. Because psychiatrists have described you as abnormal. Yeah, as of today, it has been codified. It's been codified. There's something wrong with your brain. Politics. Politics. You know the one I say all the time. Somebody said they will hang me. I said, what can they do? I have to tell the truth. Say global warming. I said, who said it's not warming? Let me ask you a question. Is today warmer than last week? No, there's no light. Is it warmer than last week? Is that not global warming? Ah, this yesterday now. I mean, you're needing fan, you're needing ACs. As of last week, you know how everywhere was cold? That's what they call global warming. Did it not warm? What did you do to warm it? Then who now told you that this globe that was warm, that's warmer today than it was 10 years ago, is something that you did? If the one that changed between last week and today wasn't something you did. They tell you so much, you start believing the lie. It's pure lies. I don't want to go into that. There's something I like to tell when people don't understand. I tell them something. You've had a global warming for a long time. How much warmer now do you think the globe is than 100 years ago? Before I tell you that, let me tell you the one I saw. I think American Congress. Some people, they came to speak on the global warming issue. So one congressman, I asked them that. What percentage, they said, we need to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. They said, what percentage of carbon dioxide do you think we have in the atmosphere? Do you know what? None of them knew. There were four people speaking, not one knew. And they were representing some, you know, what do you call them? Pressure groups on climate change. And the congressman just said, just tell me, what is the percentage of carbon dioxide in the air right now? She just hazard a guess. Is it 1%? Is it 2%? Whatever it is. One person said 5, one said 10. The guy said, it's 0.03. Many people don't know that. And if it drops below 0.02, plants start to die. An average person doesn't understand that. But they'll carry it everywhere. How much warmer is the globe now than it was 100 years ago? Actually, 150 years ago. Many people don't know. Since they started taking records, it's warmed up by 1.01 degree in 150 years. Most of which happened in the last 10 years. 90% of this happened in the last, let's say by now to be like 12 years. Until you probably heard somebody like me say it. I didn't research it, I read it. But they color it so that, see, where I'm going is that the faith is generated and it affects your environment. So that's why you should not be ashamed to hold on to the truth of the word of God. Why? It also creates in the environment. If we hold on to the truth enough, do you follow my point? We will, it's a spiritual principle. We will bring forth into reality what was not there before. That's how it works. So when you see people talking, they are manipulating our faith. That's what they are doing. By the time they try to impress you every day that there's no God, all they are trying to do is enthrone Satan. That's it. Because it's a form of worship. It's a form of worship. So bear these things in mind, please. Faith, whatever you do, generate faith. Distribute it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Generate faith, distribute it. What do I mean by distribute faith? Let me say it to you. Don't forward anything that looks like to undermine faith. One man was walking on the road, he died. Is he the first to die? Ain't forwarding it to you at all. This country is dangerous. People are now dying. In which country are they not dying? You know people are dying. So I don't need to help you with it. But if I see any testimony of deliverance, I will forward it to you. If I see a scripture that somebody dramatizes very well, like I remembered something yesterday. I was doing something and I remembered that I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Okay, actually, I was trying to get one of our messages ready. So I made that statement. So I said, okay, let me even get this song. I didn't get the one I was looking for, but I saw a small video of it. As of now, because of my sharing, at least a few scores of people have seen it. I don't know what the future holds. I know what the future. I don't know where the road goes, but I know who makes a way. Just statements like that. The guy made about 6-7 lines. I know the end will be good. It will be good. It will be good. So, of course, when I posted it, people are giving me, I said, good. I don't know the musician. I know he's a Christian. Send it to all my children. Send my whole family. Just sharing it around. And that's distributing what? Faith. Distributing faith. I have classmates. I'm not exaggerating. That once they share any video or anything, 9 times out of 10, I don't click on it. Tap, 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 delete. There are 2 of them. If I just say, who sent this thing? Mr. ABC. Tap, delete. Tap, delete. I don't even bother reading. I don't, because the only thing I will see is one man hacked to death. Somebody talking about how useless the country has become. How the pain is too much. And you think that I've been accused that, why are you burying your head in the sand? I said, no. There are 2 sands here. The one you want to bury my head in is one type of sand that will kill me. Let me bury this, the sand of God. After a man was made from sand, let's God use sand. Low. So don't come and try and, you are burying it some, now listen, what you are trying to bury my head in is also not real. You are trying to create life for me in a particular direction. Why should I follow you? I have 2 of them like that. And these are people that, if I'm one of them, will never, ever, by chance, ever post anything positive. Especially about the country. Are you telling me this individual is never in a place where they share positive things? No, I'm not exaggerating what I'm telling you. If they say Naira gained against the dollar, so the person I'm talking about will never post it, ever. But if the Naira slides against the dollar, that's the news you will get. If you hear that the military went into Zamfara, eliminated a whole, you know, settlement of bandits, and freed 200 hostages, this individual will never post it. But if you hear that bandits invaded a military base, killed some soldiers, looted their weapons, and carried the weapons away into their base, that's the kind of thing you see. Now, in case you do not know, in case you are the one, of course, the person I'm talking about will be listening to this, but in case you are like that, let me just tell you what you are. You work for Satan. Now, please, that's not an insult. It's an accurate job description for what you do. You are an agent of darkness. No, see, let's say the way it is that people can wake up. You are an agent of darkness. You work for the devil. Your master is Satan. Let me say it now so that you get angry with yourself. Satan depends on you to further his course on the earth. True now? Satan is paying you. You don't know that. He will carry you to some chat groups. They will feed you with enough armamentarium, you know, armament to use to further the agenda of Satan. No, think about it. You are never a bearer of good news. You know what the Bible says about those who bear good news? It's how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good tidings. Good tidings of peace. Those who say to the cities of Zion, behold your God, not behold the work of the enemy. You don't know that to get the results in life, rumor, even modern warfare, they do propaganda. They will have a minister of propaganda to motivate young men. You know what they do? They find a military, an Air Force pilot, who did some, you know, serious work. And the guy is young, maybe like 28. We dress him up, take good pictures of him, and circulate him in universities and secondary schools. Why? Without saying anything, they are motivating the young men to join the military. They will dress the guy up very well, be telling you all the glowing things that he accomplished. But they will not publish when soldiers die. No, during war. Nobody will come into battle. But the enemy's job is to let you know how much you are losing. They broadcast into your country to let you know that men, we have almost run over all your cities to discourage you. Because once you hear rumors, it's in the scriptures like that, when war comes, you won't fight. Your hands will melt. It will hang beside you because you heard rumors. So if you are the one that's always spreading negative rumors, just know that you are in the army of the devil. You work for the dragon. Serpent is in your life. You are possessed. I must say it complete. You are possessed with the spirit of Python. Very soon you start hearing voices and seeing visions. Lying visions. Because in each one of them, what you are doing is creating faith. Or the opposite of faith, which is unbelief. And both of them are creative. Do you follow my point? If you fill your heart with faith, it will produce what God spoke in His word. So I said, generate faith and do what? And distribute it. Thank you. Generate faith and distribute it. Generate faith and distribute it. When you are studying, when you find a scripture that encourages your heart, put it on your status. Thank you for comedy. But that is not the main thing we want on your status. Yes, the comedy you give us that make us laugh. Well, thank God for your life. Laughter is good for the body. It does good like medicine. It's good. But that's not what we need. Life is not in laughter. Where is life? In the Word of God. So one day you are studying, or you read one unusual translation. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. Said in such a manner, the Lord is keeping me and protecting me, taking care of all my needs. Ah! What is this one? The powerful translation. Crop it, put it on your status. So this is the powerful translation. We don't know the translation, but thank you for your life. Thank God for your life. You have shared it with us. Do you get my point? That's how we know scripture. You think all of us have time to read the Leviticus? Or Numbers? How many of you have studied Numbers from beginning to the end? No, this man of God, don't put up your hand. You go and read Lamentation. How many people get time for Lamentation? But inside Lamentation, things are there. What you hear is the Lord's message that were not consumed. It's in Lamentation. So sometimes you are reading it. Thank God for your life. How many people read Songs of Solomon? Songs of Solomon says it's rated 18. Yeah, if you're not up to 18 years, don't even read it. Do you get my point? Okay, so you are reading Songs of Solomon. You see some deep revelations. Crop it for us. Paste it on your status. We see it there. That is how we're now going to read the whole chapter. We thank God for Manchester United. But no matter how much you tell us the goals, it won't boost our faith. Don't add anything. How much Ronaldo is earning now? Is this Saudi Arabia where he says he's playing? You know, it doesn't concern us. The guy know they pay tight. His first, did he send you first fruit? Ronaldo, did he send you first fruit? He sent you any special offering? These are the men of God. So what are you now doing, posting for me how many goals he scored? Leave that. But there are portions of the scriptures you will read. Life. Carry it, paste it to on your status. Let's see it. Your Facebook is timeline, what do you call it? Facebook. Paste it there. That's how to spread what? Faith. That's how to spread faith. That's how to spread. If you see good news, stories of deliverance. You know, thank God for our state, Enugu State. Our governor and the security men, they're always catching criminals. Have you noticed? Yes, sir. All of you have noticed. Sometimes they catch another set. I share the news. One day, one of my classmates, the other day, was coming to the city. So he called me. He said, "You live in Enugu, please tell me how to come." He was going to go from Benin to Lagos, then fly to Enugu. Fly to Lagos, fly to Enugu. and return like that. It's very common. That's what a lot of them do. But he called me first. All I needed to tell him, boy, do you know? I said, do you know I go that side all the time? I drive myself, go come. He said, eh? I said, yes, now. I said, you know how much that's going to cost you? You know how much flight tickets? It's now 4 flights. You may have to sleep one night in Lagos. He said, that's true. I said, okay, get a driver to drive your car. He said, I use a very big car. I said, okay, get a taxi. And really, he arrived in town. I was not even in town when he arrived. He called me and said, I'm in town. How did you come? He said, he came with a taxi. Time to go. I said, ah. Why? I said, go and take one of these, our fast CNS. Leave here early in the morning, 6 a.m. The guy called me, 10:30, had reached Benin. Now, where am I going? Just by talking, I told him, I said, do you realize from Asaba to Enugu is safer than Enugu to Benin, Asaba to Benin? Yeah, I'm not kidding. If you look at the last 2 years, there have been more problems between Asaba and Benin than Asaba to Enugu. I said, you say our, this is our eastern region. You know, you have unknown men. I said, listen. He said, he has not been here since the whole thing started. I said, don't worry. I go, I come all the time. I said, don't worry about it. So he came with the taxi. Time to leave. He just took a Lagos vehicle. And by 10:30, he had dropped. He said, oh boy. Like he was like, what? I said, this is how we roll. It's not a problem. Look at how much money I have saved you. And I said, more importantly, he said, the time. Yes. Woke up in the morning, he was at the park. By 6, they were on their way. In fact, I told him they would have reached there earlier. Somebody stopped to buy Gary. Now, you see what I mean by spread what? Faith. Yes, spread faith. I told him, look, you will be fine. Don't worry. I just told him, you know this person, he was here the other day. Uh-huh. I said, yes, now. Well, I said, me? You know me. I drive up and down all the time. He said, hey. He said, ah, your roads are dangerous. Oh. One day I told somebody I was going to Port Harcourt. He said, ah, sir, you go to Port Harcourt? I said, yes. I said, what's wrong with it? He said, the road is dangerous now. I said, but I've come back already. Like, I've come back. Now you're giving me the news that the road is dangerous. I said, we would, because of fear, not live our lives again. Talked to our brother in Kaduna the other day. You know this Kaduna road, this kidnapping, this. I said, how do you guys manage? He said, we go where we have to go. Even me, my faith was boosted. He said, now we go where we have to go. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. He said, the other day, my daughter had to go to school. I said, he said, there was no other way. Then we hit the road. He said, one day he came back home, maybe around 11 p.m. His mother was like, I know you. You will be on, so just be praying. No need to harass me. He said, no, the other day my bishop went. Of course, his bishop is an Anglican. Does he have an escort? They are going anywhere. The man will just enter motor. Driver, let's go. And that is bishop can go around preaching. Yeah, and the man, he keeps going to places. He said, one day he got to a checkpoint, an Air Force checkpoint. So they stopped. And they asked where he was coming from. He told them, that's the bishop. And the military men were like, you can't be serious. No, we're very serious. We just came from this side. Then they're like, no, it's not true. You are not coming from there. He said, that's where we are coming from. He said, but this is the news we just got from there now. He said, that's where we are coming from. Bandits just attacked the place. He just... See, that's what faith creates. The military men were shocked to hear. This man doesn't have an escort. In fact, there's no point. Who's escorting you when bandits are 100? But you know, you hear news like that, you are encouraged. Please, what am I trying to emphasize? Faith creates. So don't take away somebody's faith. Faith creates. Don't take away somebody's faith. What are you eating? Have you washed your hand? Ah, germs, worms, and he's already eating. Person carry apple for road, maybe garden egg. He has eaten half of it. See, he didn't wash it. What do you now want him to do? to vomit the one he has it. Someone now look at it. Eh? Okay, oh. Carry your eye, come out. That you're okay. Now, Ojo Aje, the eye of which, now they take look at. Just leave this thing. The man has eaten. What do you want him to do? If you must talk, say, oh, you had that without washing. You're a man of God anyway. Nothing will happen to you. That's a better way to talk. Say, I know you're a woman of faith. Don't worry. You're fine. Now, tell me, say, you ate it. This was how this man ate it. 6 weeks after he was in the hospital. Satan. What did I say? Generate and what? Distribute faith. And then you say a testimony, forward it to everybody in the world. Forward. Don't stop forwarding. You know. Have you read the testimony? No. Forward it again. Some people, they forward bad news. If it's testimony, say, are you sure? Why didn't you ask whether I was sure when it was bad news? At least now you know the camp you are in. Working for Satan. And government says, they don't mind them. That's what they say. They never do it. Instead of you to use faith to ensure that they do it. And that when they do it, it is successful. I said it's a small digression. Just wanted to show that faith is very crucial. All right? Now, what I want to share with us briefly, okay? Is that prayer is not hard. What did I say?
Prayer is not hard.
Can you turn to somebody and say,
prayer is not hard?
Turn to that person, prayer is not hard.
Say,
prayer does not kill.
Prayer does not kill.
When I say kill now, you know, like the man I told you I saw that he said fasted for 100 days for God to answer him. Tell your neighbor, that was not praying.
That was
not praying. The man's halfway to they carry him to the hospital. They discharge him. They continue the fasting. He said, spirit now, an angel now appeared to him. I said, ah, Satan has appeared to you. Before he said what the angel said, I said, don't listen to him. At the end of the day, he listened to him. And I knew the angel was lying. And by the way, now I've been warning all of you. If you have not eaten for 5 days in the flesh, you know what I mean, in the flesh. If you are Moses and you're on the mountain and you have not eaten for 5 days, it's the will of God. But if you have used force to keep yourself hungry for 5 days, please tell every spirit that wants to talk to you to wait. That you need to eat first. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You, by yourself, giving yourself a fast. How do you know it's your own flesh? I'll tell you. First day, you almost died. But you survived. Second day, you got used to it. By the third day, you had the energy now to keep on going. And you're walking slowly and sipping water. Are you getting my point? By the fifth day, all you have been eating each day is maybe it's one garden egg in the evening with a glass of kunu. And the fifth day, an angel now appears to you. Tell the angel that, wait, let me go and eat. Please don't compare yourself to Moses. You are not Moses. And Moses did not hassle himself to survive no food for 30 days, for 5 days and 40 days. He didn't. He was in the presence of God. Neither did Jesus, neither did Elijah. These are people who did 40 days, and Moses did the second round of 40 days, still full of the glory of God. But you are the one I'm talking about. You that there's no glory, you're not on any mountain. You just want to, you yourself, you want dwam. By the fifth or sixth day, or the tenth day, the Spirit appeared to you. Now, this tell the Spirit that I said. Tell the Spirit, Pastor Parker said what?
Wait.
Let me go and eat. You know why? If you listen to that spirit, he will lie to you. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Anything you hear that time is not reliable. You forced yourself into a realm. Yeah, I'm telling you. And you don't even know whether what you have seen is real or imagined. I know the way the brain works. The brain that doesn't have the right nutrients can misfire. And when it misfires, it constructs. You now see yourself descending to hell, and you now see Michael Jackson there doing breakdance. You now see all the women that have big earring that's white and has red on it. You saw them there. And all the men that have what's the crocodile? Is it crocodile tooth? On the, like this guy, you saw them broken in hellfire because their shirt is written broken. And all the women that came to church were shuku. And they didn't tie the hair. You know what you were seeing? The last time you went to church, and all the women you did not like. That is what you are seeing. I know what I'm telling you. That's what you are seeing. And that brother that did, he asked him for money, he didn't give you. Or the one you borrowed your money, didn't pay back. You saw all of them in hellfire. You now give a testimony. Praise the Lord. And the fifth day of my fast, the Holy Spirit now took me down to... No. Your misfiring brain started acting movie for you. Do you get my point? You guys may be laughing, but I know what I'm saying. Tell the spirit, wait! Go and eat. If you are still seeing him, he's a real spirit. But usually by the time you come back, he don't go. He don't go. And he won't come back. Do you know why? It was your brain that was misfiring. At least I've helped somebody now. And some of you will be using those visions to control your husband. You're a witch. Any fast you fasted all by yourself and you saw a vision to tell your husband what to do, you're a witch. There's all witchcraft in Pentecostal churches, you know. Ask Apostle. They have delivered a lot of them. Prayer is not hard. Why am I saying it? And that's my message for today. I read through the scriptures. I realized something. Those who got the greatest results in prayer in the scriptures, they just made simple requests. God told Abraham what was going to happen. And Abraham, being a man of understanding, he knew Ishmael was going to die. So in all he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you." That was the beginning of it. That was the end of it. It's not, "Lord, tomorrow we'll pray for Ishmael." No. It's, "Lord, oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you." That's it. I thought about it again. I saw a man like Amos. Amos said, let me open to it. Amos chapter 7. He said, "Thus the Lord showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout." This was a vision. "And behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. And when it came about, when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land that I said," that he was in the division, then he went into prayer. "Say, Lord, please," pardon, if you have an IV, "say, please stop. How can Jacob survive?" He said, "For he is so small." And God changed his mind about this. "It shall not be," said the Lord. Did you notice that? One simple request. "It shall not be," says the Lord. Moses, God told Moses, "I am going to destroy the people," and all of that. Moses stood. I said, "La haba, Lord, no, now. If you were to do that, what would the people say?" "They will say that you couldn't bring them into the promised land, so you kill them in the wilderness." "Lord, I beg, oh, my hand no day, oh." Say, "Lord, now, please pardon." Simple prayer. And God says, "Okay, according to your word, I have pardoned." I hope you're getting my point. I read through my scriptures and I realized, please let me say it again. I started again today by looking at different types of prayers. By the end of the day, see, if you want to worship, it's fantastic. You should worship for a whole day. If you want to praise, it's wonderful. Worship, praise, not only the whole day, all the time. And please, don't let praise and thanksgiving ever depart from your mouth. Wake up in the morning, the first thing you say, "Lord, thank you." It is instructive to note that Jesus, he told us every time he ate, one thing he always did was give thanks. He multiplied bread for thousands, multiplied fish for thousands. They would tell this was how he did it after he gave thanks. They only say it. Now for me, food is not the only thing you give thanks for. But I think food was picked to show us every activity. Now this will sound funny. What's the end? After you have eaten food and I digested the food, what happens at the end of the day? You go to the White House, right? How many of us remember to give thanks before we leave that place? How many of us remember? I'll be honest with you. Me, I know the two forget. No. I say, Father, I thank you. Yeah, really. It's only when you're in the church, you say, Father, I thank you. When you are done with it, also say, Father, because that place, they block. They block. See, there are different kinds of blocking. Some of them, you're blocked because it's in, you go chop stone. All right? But some, one disease will just block it. Doctors will start digging and digging. That's why, see, let me tell you, some of you that are grumbling that you don't have money, better stop that nonsense. Because that you have health, you don't know how rich you are. Now I'm buying anti-malaria, you know what I'm saying? And that is not a problem. You know, malaria is not a problem. Because if they don't say anti-malaria, you go and cut dogoyaro, you boil it, you drink it. Your ear might sing small, but you will get cured. Sometimes when I see, because of some things I get involved in, when I see some treatment they are prescribing sometimes for patients, you know, you're just talking, so okay, we should have two rounds of therapy, so okay, how many courses, and they're just talking like that. We'll give this course of, sometimes I'm in the meeting, Zoom, even though it's not Zoom, but you know, Zoom meeting, so I'm there, maybe I'm at the house, because it's early in the morning, so my wife is here, just, I tell her, I say, okay, that thing you just heard now, each round of that thing are 400K. Yes. So the way they will say it in passing, you will think that it's like buying antibiotics. No. So how many courses they will tell you? But then, if you see what that small talk, we just talk now, that patient will drop 1.5 million without anything more than extending the life for 6 months as a reward. Yes. So that's why I said that. Thank God for praise services and worship service. But please, like I said, that's why you go to do what? Learn. You form a habit. See, that song that we sang in church, I cram it very well. I go back home singing it. Every time. That service was wonderful. All these hymns you sang, you forgot it. Take the hymn home and sing it all by yourself. Please, let's leave this thing. Worship must be worship service and a practice service. What did I say?
Worship service and practice.
It's practice. We go there to practice. The worship, the thanksgiving and praise is every moment, the whole day. You drive out the whole day. As soon as you enter into your compound and hit your brake, put your car in park, turn off the engine. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. You don't know how many dangers. Some of you who carry the car to travel and you came back and you want to forget Thanksgiving. All you are angry with is that food was not waiting for you. And your wife knew you traveled since. That kind of thing. As soon as you come back, the food should be waiting. They should wash your feet. Look at you. You drove 4 hours to go. Go and come. 2 hours go. Okay, you did whatever you had to do there. 4 hours. And then you came back. And then at the end of the day, all you are thinking about is that they didn't wash your feet. And there was no hot water. Why didn't they boil water for you? Because before they switched off the power. People of God, you should be too full of thanksgiving to have mouths to complain. That same road that you are on. Let's not talk about what happened on that road. Let's not talk about the car accident. Let's not talk about people who just slept off. And then it's inside the bush. Let's not start. Let's not talk about those who they just kidnapped and never came back. Let's not start. You drove that way, you came back, and you are full of grumbling. What is up with you? Please, worship service where we go and practice. True worship is moment by moment. Praise. Thanksgiving must never depart from your mouth. But that's not what I'm preaching about. What I'm preaching about, when it's time to make requests, brethren, make it what? Short. Make it simple. Make it simple. Talk to the Lord directly. That's what I'm just going to tell us this evening. I was going through my scriptures, and I said, no, God, asking you for things is never hard. I'll tell you about things that may be hard later than in a moment. But basically, making requests of the Lord is not hard. Getting God to do things. Please, I'm sorry. Don't see. I saw one man the other day. Said, let us begin to pray. Everybody monitoring my progress. Strike them with blindness. Please, can I beg you? If I see you in that kind of prayer meeting again, what will I do to you now? I don't know. But please just stop going there. You don't have to join early morning online prayer meeting when they are praying nonsense. Yeah, this guy, that's like I said, anybody watching my progress. Lord, strike them with blindness, begin to pray. I said, you call that prayer? You should be struck with blindness. In fact, you're already blind. God bless you. You're already blind. You woke up early morning, and that is a prayer point, and there's a day in front of you. You've not said, Lord, what is your will for me today? Give us this day our daily bread. And we're not talking about wheat, we're talking about the word for this season. Those who are monitoring you, is your prayer point. You want to know? Nobody's monitoring you. See, you are just feeling too important with yourself. Do you know the price of fuel? People are monitoring their gauge. You're talking about what this. They are monitoring how much. Who went to that kitchen to take from that Gary? So I put the size signature on top of Gary now because if a guy you boy you go sign, anybody disturb that, you will know. Man, that's what people are monitoring. They don't have time for you. They don't have time for you. My friend said he had a nurse. He used to have a clinic in one village. Said that nurse, sharp mouth. My friend is a doctor. So one man, he had a patient admission. So he was now grumbling. That he thinks people want to kill him. He thinks people are after him. They want to kill him. So the nurse walked up to him. Said, do you have a house? The guy didn't understand. He said, no. Land, which size of land do you have? The guy didn't get the point. He said, no. Do you have a wife yet? He said, no. He's a carpenter. So you don't have children? He said, no. He said, so the person that will kill you, what will he say is his gain? This nurse asked the guy, said, do you know how expensive it is to kill people? So if I've invested in killing you, what will now be my gain? She actually took the patient down. My friend was not telling me. Say that girl, her mouth was too sharp. He said, hey, my friend, let her face your life. You're not worth being killed. Now, just an aside. You think it's every head you carry to shine they collect? See, some people, they are so sinned, and even Satan will not, there's nothing remaining in their destiny. Say, sacrifice one for money. Say, Satan will look at you. How much do you think it's worth? If I use this one, I give 5,000 naira. Is it okay? Say, what the hell? It's 5K. This guy, he's been confused all his life. He has never done anything right. There's nothing left in his destiny. Is everybody you go and be using their head for this? Some people have done sacrifice, they are still poor because the people they use. Listen, if you want to do sacrifice for money, just go and follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has died to make you rich. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Just follow the will of God for your life. You will prosper. Yes, sir. And if you don't want to do that, sacrifice goat and what do you call it? Ram. Let's see how much that one is worth. But don't follow anybody. They won't get anything. Some more people are not worth. Let's not go there. Iniquity. Iniquity has removed their value. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is this, listen, making requests of the Lord is not hard. God doesn't make approaching him to get results that difficult. The problem we have is that, you know, he said it like this. Solomon explained it. He said, God made men upright, but they sought out what? Many devices. They made prayer difficult. They made prayer something beyond just come to the Lord and let him have your requests. They come to the Lord and they are not honest about what they're asking. They come to the Lord, they don't know his will. And when I say the will, I don't mean that God, oh please, should I buy a blue one of this or a black one? That's not what I mean. What did he say? You go to a place where they tell you every day that prosperity is not the will of God. You will never be able to pray for prosperity. They've undermined your faith. Or they teach you, some will teach you to be covetous. And God will not satisfy the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He won't. That's what the problem is. Many times people come to the Lord, they don't come in faith. And that's what I'm talking about again. They don't come in faith. If you see men who came in faith, women who came in faith, God did not make himself hard to find. He didn't. He did not. When you say people don't come in faith, what do you mean? It's simple. Many prayers are prayers of habit. They're not prayers of faith. What do I mean by that? Sometimes people have been brought up to think of God as just a lawgiver. Now, what I mean by that is that you wake up in the morning, you appease him for the day. He's a judge only. He's not a father. Do you get my point? Yes, a lot of people are brought up like that. They are very good at keeping rules. And one of those rules is pray to God. But you know what? They actually don't expect him to do anything. Yes, they don't. But they will pray to him because, you see, if you don't pray to him, you will get angry. Okay, let me give you you know, I've been telling you, I've been preaching a lot of times about this, and that God, Jesus is not like other gods. And that many times people take idolatry, bring it to Christianity, just change the name of the God. You understand? Do you know most of the gods people worship traditionally? Traditionally. Really don't do anything. They just worship them to prevent their anger. I don't know whether I get my point. Yeah. Yeah. No, go and look at traditional worship. Now, people are not going to want to travel. And they'll go to an Ogun shrine and say to him, I want to go on a journey. Protect me on that journey. They usually don't do that. What they do more of, the time of festival, they offer him something so that his wrath does not come upon them. Sins have been prescribed. No specific request is made. Nobody goes. Now, the whole society may say, okay, we do this so that we'll have good harvest. You may hear things like that, but that's not what I'm talking about. They don't go like, hey, last time I planted yam here, it wasn't good. Help me. I want it to be good. No, they don't have such specific. There's this general way they worship without any personal interaction. And which is okay for them because the guy also doesn't make any personal demand. Like I say all the time, one problem with God is that when you come to the shrine, he's looking behind you. Say, that girl, is that your wife? And that's God for you. But Ogun really doesn't give it. You know, all these traditional gods, they don't care. That's how they get away there. Nah. Commercial sex worker, when you pick for road, but doesn't spoil the sacrifice. Does it spoil it? No, now you just offer the sacrifice. You still expect whatever that sacrifice is supposed to produce it. What God does, however, is he checks how did you come. Okay, this offering you brought now, where did it come from? This is that bribe you collected last week. You came to give me a part of it. By the time you finish analyzing where you are getting money from, you have forgotten even your prayer point. But they don't do that. Now, when people now come into Christianity, that's the point I'm making. They wake up in the morning, pray generally to God, and don't really have any specific expectation of him. And the same manner, they don't have any specific thing they are doing because of him. A lot of people. Some actually know how to obey rules. But God is not personal to them. So their prayers never more than our Father was in heaven, will be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They won't say, Lord, I wrote an exam, please. I need to pass and gain admission this year. Help me. And say it sincerely. They don't. But they can say 10 decades of the rosary, they are Catholics, as an example. Listen, now, no, I'm not criticizing anybody. Anglicans do it. Pentecostals are even worse, that is. They can groan there for 1 hour, and God is looking at the angel, say, what does he want? The angel say, we say, we don't know. Say, but it's been groaning in the spirit. God say, which spirit? And he's there, wah, wah, wah. And God said, what is going on here? See, God does not know. The angels don't know. Holy Spirit that he says is making, Holy Spirit, not at all, not me. So what is he doing? He said, he's praying. So they'll say, okay, when he's done, let us know what he asks for. And they face another person. At the end of 1 hour, he now says, Lord, exam is coming next week. I've failed this subject twice. Help me to pass. He said, Is that what he's been doing since? Why didn't he just say that as soon as he came in? Then do the funny thing. Now, let me give you a small digression. God now answers. He now goes to give testimony. Now, there things come spoil. Praise the Lord. After 1 hour. And God calls the angels. What did he say? He said, after 1 hour. He said, I answered him after 2 minutes. See, I'll give you this testimony. His personal, I mentioned the exam. As a final year student in school, that's how I went to pray one day. I was reading and I just climbed. I still remember the building. You know, these steps, you have the building, the steps are kind of outside. So when you get to the topmost part of it, you're just looking at the sky. You know, you're on the same level now at the top floor, but the step is outside. I remember that's how I climbed one of our buildings that time. And I just leaned outside like this. It was night. I said, Lord, the exam is tomorrow. Let me not give you details of why I got to that desperate point. It had to do with school closure, riots, and all of that. So the school was closed, but my dean refused to stop. Those of us who are final year medical students, he refused to stop our postings. So he kind of told us, look, sort yourself out. Where they chased us out of hostel. There was nowhere to stay. I suffered for about a week. Finally, I just left. I went home. So when school was reopened, when I came back, so I had missed most of my senior posting in surgery. Exam was now tomorrow. I just stood there that day. I said, Lord, please. Clinical exam is all or none. If you don't pass it, you are failed. No matter what you wrote in the written one. I said, Lord, you know I didn't do this posting well. And you know the reason why. Please, I need help. Yeah, I remember very well. That's how I prayed the prayer. I said, Lord, oh, please. We have an examiner that's very tough. Can you ensure that I don't meet him, please? I gave him the name of the examiner. And let me not sound spiritual. Inside me, a thought came up. Later, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. He said, is that you don't want the examiner, you want to pass? I said, Lord, I just want to pass. He said, good, so the examiner doesn't matter. So I said, Lord, okay, really. It doesn't matter, I just want to pass. Before I left, I said, Lord, please, I don't want a case of hernia. Why? I said, you know, hernias, that's, you know, by the way, students, stop counseling yourself. You don't know anything. Go and ask your seniors. Ask your lecturers. Because we are told ourselves that hernias are so simple that they don't allow mistakes. So you want something like cancer of the pancreas. You want a glioblastoma in the brain. Things are so hard that they don't expect you to know much. But don't mind that. That's a lie we lie to ourselves. It wasn't like that. So I said, God, please, don't let them give me this one. Because if I make a mistake, they will fail me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Then the thought came back again. It's like you don't want a case of hernia or you want to pass. Oh, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I really don't care whether it's hernia or not. I just want to pass. Now, because of time, let me make my story short. I got the next day. I got both that difficult lecturer and I got a case of hernia. To let you know, it was not coincidence. The Lord picked it. And the way he guided it, to see his hand was so clear. The most benign of all the examiners was heading for my bed. That is, we are beside the patient. And I was so happy. Say, hey, God of miracles. As he stepped close to me, one guy blocked him and said, tea break, sir. And took the man off for tea. And kept me, I was waiting there for like 15 minutes. When the new examiners came, this tough man was the one that now came to my side. Let me make a long story short. The last words he spoke as I was leaving was, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. See, I remember how, you know, I've prayed hard prayers too. I've banged my head on the wall too. See, the head banging thing should be proportional to how you feel. If you want to cry, I'm not saying God doesn't listen to crying people. But don't go and buy sorrow and put in your eyes so that you can cry for God. It's not necessary. You know they call sorrow. Okay, don't know what sorrow. Don't go and buy something that's hot. Go and rub pepper in your eyes. Lord, oh. It's not necessary. If you don't feel like crying, you don't need to cry. Some people don't cry. Some people, before you touch them, like they don't begin cry. Whichever one, as he touch you, do what? Speak. If he's crying. Hannah was bitter also, but she didn't make any noise. Do you get my point? She made her request clearly to God. Paul said, let your request be made what? Known to God. Many of us know, I'm not sure God knows our request. Because you have grown for 1 hour, you've not said anything.
Lord, wahala de, oh, ya wahala de, oh, ya wahala de, wahala, 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 oh, trouble, trouble, trouble. Like, say CNN, thank you very much. That's what God is saying. Say CNN, thank you very much for the news. Calamity News Network. What's your request? No, nothing, wahala, just there. Thank you. You have not asked him to do anything. You have not asked. Now, see, you'll be surprised. A lot of Christians pray like that. There's one church I saw that they pray. This week, let's begin to pray. All these wicked people in this country, pray. And God said, what should I do to them? And by the way, all those blanket wicked people, don't pray that prayer because you are one of them. And I'm warning you. You know what I found out? That's what I'm teaching. Praying is asking. It's a straightforward request. If you know what the problem is, tell him what the problem is. If you have a solution to suggest, you can suggest the solution. If you don't have a specific solution, leave it. Say, Lord, please solve this situation. Please let me say another thing. We're talking about what faith is. He said, let him ask him what? Faith. Now, if you see when James was speaking about faith, he talked about a double-minded man. He said, nothing doubting. Now, it's very important that you are not double-minded. I'll give you some keys when you're talking about double-mindedness. First, let's talk about double-mindedness towards God. Please, don't ever look at something that's too difficult for him to do. How you solve the problem doesn't concern you. Don't go there and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, provide this chair, this color, this size, every that fucker I have, you finish bread. I need 1,000 pieces. Somebody say, ah, I just came back from Minosino. When you were praying, you thought the price was 2,000 for one. It says now 10,000. Ah! You scream. Say, God, please just make it 200 pieces. Why? You see, God cannot afford 1,000 now because prices have gone up. Inflation in heaven. And God said, man, things are rough. The bank's not open. Sometimes you just use stubbornness to say to God, that 1,000 is what you have money. Just say it to God like that. You can afford it. Double-mindedness towards yourself. Let me tell you one area you have to be careful about. Stop asking for things that don't matter. So that when you give certain details, are you getting me? They say, God, open a door to Europe. God opens to America. So what will you now say? Is Europe and America the same thing? Do you get where I'm going? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I need a fairly used blue-colored 20, which year are we in 2024? I need a 2017 Corolla blue with this kind of alloy. People say, be specific. That is not the kind of specificity the Bible is talking about. Do you know why? God will just test you. So instead of bringing the Camry that's blue, he gives you the one that is wine red. And instead of being 2017, it's 2018. Has he answered the prayer or he hasn't? Now, don't answer me yet, because if it's specificity, he did not answer. Because if you are doing Mr. Specific, you say it must be blue. He brought red. You said 2017, he brought 2018. He didn't answer that prayer. He did not. If you are doing, I must be specific. Do you get what I'm saying? There are things you can add as an aside. Now, after, why did you ask for 2017? It's not because you hate 2019. It's because God really can't afford 2019. Is that not so? Most times, that is the problem now. Do you get my point? So don't specify 2017. Because if the Lord were to give you 2020, which he can easily afford, you will still collect. Do you know if he brought a Rolls Royce, you know you won't take? Be honest. If it's me, I won't take it. Who wants to buy the fuel? Where am I driving it to? Every time I go to work, everybody will stop walking to come and look at me. It doesn't make sense. Do you get my point? So, this is what I tell people. Tell exactly what you know you have to not doubt concerning. I need a good quality, small size, low fuel consumption, easy to maintain car that doesn't draw so much attention for my comfort. Because sometimes you bring things you did not even know they've made. Yeah, you don't know that. I mean, you bring a model of a car you did not know existed. I gave you my testimony before. It never crossed my mind to drive a Kia. I was supposed to get a Camry. I couldn't pay cash for it because the person wanted it said cash. But I said, Lord, I need another car. You know I need another car. My brother just said, my company can help you buy one, but they only buy brand new cars. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He said, they can only buy it brand new. Ah. He said, I said, why? He said, because they give order and the company delivers. And the company they deal with delivers only brand new. The price difference, 25%. So it wasn't like, no. And that was the reason then why I bought a Kia Optima. Because the guy supplying said, only brand new. The financing was so fantastic. So those people say, you bought a brand new car. No, I couldn't afford the used one I wanted. And the guys who were going to finance it said, we don't finance used cars. Did I ask God, make it brand? No. But he was able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what I could ask or even what think. So I said, please don't. So when people say, you must be specific, you must be specific. How can you be specific about what you don't even know? You may be bringing a father. God just said, come, wait. He transfers you to a place. So for the next 2 years, you are going to be using Lagos Red Line. I don't know whether I get my point. You know they call it Lagos Red Line. Okay, you know they have these trains now. One is blue, that's what they call them. One is called blue, one is called red. So maybe next thing you know, your company transfers you to Lagos. The house we are living in is just walking distance from the terminal. Your office is walking distance from another terminal. You are going to be there for the next 2 years. What only do you need that car you were praying about for? Do you get my point? So people say, be specific. I say, relax. Be specific concerning what the need is, not how the Lord will solve it. Please, when you want to make your request, settle down, think well. So you won't be a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Stop asking for a job you don't like simply because they pay more money. If you want money, what do you do? Ask for money. God can keep you on the same job and triple what you are earning. He can keep you on the same job. Please, if you are working, stop running up and down. It's one federal ministry, they've advertised now, you collect the advert. You send the application. One private, you collect, and you're working somewhere. You are filling forms every day. I don't think it's a good thing. Every day you are filling form. Come on, have some dignity. I just feel like telling somebody that. You fill enough forms. As I last count, 15, only you. You are really unstable in all your ways. You are really unstable. It's enough. I think it's just a prophetic for somebody. It is enough. It is enough. Your life is not a game of chance. Next time they tell you something, tell them, say, please, the one I've done is enough. No, I'm telling you the truth. Tell them it's enough. The number of forms I've filled is enough. Must God give me from the ones I feel I don't know. But the next one here, he will bring you without me running after the form. Do you know it's possible to get a job you don't apply for? Remember I told you when I was in Lagos then, one day, I don't know whether I did right or wrong because for certain reasons, okay? But I just suddenly went to myself, God, please, I need to get a job now. Tired of not having a particular job I'm doing. Next day, my friend just came. Hey, banky, come. Take this address down. I wrote it down. I said, go there. They need a doctor. I walked in there. Hello. So some superstar should come. When are you ready to start? That's okay. Maybe. I just gave me like 2 days. Let me go and arrange some things. I prayed yesterday. If I'm mistaken, it's 48 hours. Not 48 hours complete, but 2 days. Maybe 2 nights passed. But I remember, I think it's the very next day. I still remember the brother, of course, not that I remember. I know who it is. I mean, somebody, I lived with him on campus for 2 years. So no, I'm not guessing. He just came to my house that day. He said, no, I can't come. I'm in a hurry. Take this address down. It's still in my head. Number 25, 99 Street, Ikeja. I can't give you. That's how I remember some things. I wrote it down and I walked in there. Hello, so someone said I should come here. I said, oh, good. I prayed. He that believes, the Bible says, doesn't make it. Literally means he's undisturbed. He's undisturbed. Many of us are too disturbed. Let's learn to make requests. Let's not treat the Lord like other gods. You just offer sacrifices. You just obey rules. Don't put calabash down. Don't speak English when you're eating cola. You can't have an intimate discussion with him on problems. I said, look, if you're not feeling well, I've told you, go book an appointment with the Lord. You know the way when you go to see a doctor? I say, Lord, please, can I see you today by 12 when everybody has slept? You say, I'm going to sleep by 10. Set an alarm. 11:30, wake up. Go and brush your teeth and wash your face. Trust me, you'll wake up. Those two things are guaranteed to keep you awake for the next one. It was something like that. Go and brush your teeth, wash your face. The sleep don't vanish. Then choose one. I would recommend you, now this is personal, you can do it differently. I would recommend you stand or kneel. Now, that's just me. Do you get my point? Yes. Stand or kneel. Some will say sit on the floor. There's no law about it. David sat on the floor in the presence of the Lord. It's okay. All right? Then, please, can I beg you for something? Don't do those your prayer habits. Father, now just come before your presence with thanksgiving. Right now, I'm calling with worship because you know I was created to worship. Please, can you stop that nonsense? Please. We came to beg for something. It's not worship time. I just want to be where you are. Believe me, he doesn't want to hear it. You booked an appointment. Do you want to get to the doctor's clinic? He said, doctor, to locate this place now, wow. I travel. Once you reach there, he said, what is the problem? My stomach has been paining me off and on now for the last 3 weeks. Then he starts talking. Don't describe. Your clinic looks nice from outside. What kind of thing is this? Some people just need it. They don't wind God up. He too will fall asleep. The way they are just waking up. Say, God, I don't wake up. What about you? It's not necessary. I'm sorry to say it. It's not, Lord, I just want to worship you. Thou art worthy, O Lord. O Lord, to receive. Oh, the angels are not singing with you. Holy Spirit just depart and say, leave this foolish boy. What is he doing? You booked an appointment. Get down to the point. Say, Lord, I told you I wanted to see you about something. You can say things, and there are worshipers, you may not realize it. There's nowhere else I'll go apart from you. You are my God. That's a word of worship. It's a word of thanksgiving. It's a word of praise. Now, this is why I've come. I've been having this splitting headache for the last 1 week. I took paracetamol for some time. Then I did this one. I took anti-malaria. Somebody said I should go and see the doctor. I am afraid. Yeah. I'm afraid it might be a brain tumor. So I've come to you, Lord. Please, whatever it is, take it away. Simple. Lord, whatever it is, take it away. Have mercy upon me. I've come because it is written that Jesus took my infirmities and my diseases. And you know, you said, I am the Lord that healed thee. I was listening to one man the other day. He said, the literal Hebrew means, I'm the Lord, your physician, your doctor. Now, this is not just me. Pretend like he's in front of you and turn. Say, this is the part of it. Can you, Lord, touch here. Put the chair there. Let me lie down, Lord, so you can examine it properly. What I'm asking for, Lord, is healing. You can even say things like, if you think I should go and see the doctor, please take this fear away from my heart and let it not be anything serious. Or you can stop it there and say, Lord, I don't want to see that doctor. This time I'm not out of fear, but because I know you can do it. If that prayer takes more than 10 minutes, make sure it's the Lord that's now talking. How will he talk? I don't know. Thoughts can start coming to your mind. Holy Spirit can ignite you into repentance, forgiveness. Or you just need to remember a book. I'm supposed to read that book. You take the book and read. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, let's open to Mark chapter 11. I want to read this. Mark chapter 11. What's my message today? Praying is simply asking. Prayer is not hard. Okay, you wanted to give me something? Prayer is not hard. Prayer is not hard. It's not. I want to just read one particular verse. He said in verse 24, please listen to this one. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted you. That's just that verse I want to read. Now the literal Hebrew Greek there, if you read King James, let me just go to King James for you. There's a reason why what I'm trying to bring up. If you read King James, which gives it literally, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. That's literal Hebrew, Greek. King James puts the word them. Believe that ye receive them and you shall have them. I've studied this again and again. Now, what King James gives you there is a literal Hebrew and Greek. Most of the Bibles try to make sense out of it. So they say, believe you have received. And one of the things that we're taught then, I differ slightly now, is that you should go around saying, I have received. Now, after I reasoned up and down about it, Greek language is a bit difficult. I mean, I don't mean it's a difficult language, but it's very different from English. But it has something that English is more in-depth than English in its grammatical constructions, if you've studied about it a bit. They have all kinds of tenses that English doesn't have. After I reasoned this up and down, this was my conclusion. Some people can disagree, but it's my conclusion. That what he said is literal. Believe you receive. It's present tense. It's not past tense. People say, believe you have received, which is what most translations we use. But literally say, believe you receive. Now, this is my own understanding, applying it for today. What I find closest is, believe you are receiving. Because believe you receive does not exist in our English form of speaking. I believe what he's saying is this. Believe that God has heard you. Believe he has granted it. Do you get my point? Yeah, he heard, he granted. Now he has activated the process of producing it on the earth. Let me explain what I'm going to say. There's a confusion we had those days. In fact, one of our brothers did one funny thing. He started from Yonggi Cho, fourth dimension. I don't know if you ever read the book. Yonggi Cho taught us that believe you receive. So you have to call those things that be not as though they were, which is, again, a play of words. But so he prayed to God for furniture in his house. As a part of I have received, he went to church and said, I now have a new set of furniture in my house. So everybody, they're all poor people. So it was an exciting thing for them to pastor to have furniture. So he said, let us go and see it. So then after service, pastor offered, let's come and see the furniture. So he started dodging. Yeah, because there was nothing. But he couldn't tell them that. So finally they went there. Where's the furniture? He said, if a woman is pregnant, does she have a baby or she doesn't have? They said, can you see the baby? No. Where is it? It's in her stomach. So they all went and said, okay, our pastor is pregnant with furniture. Yeah, that's what happened. They all left. They said, pastor is pregnant with furniture. That now became the gist in town. The pastor that is pregnant with furniture. Now, please, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I want to put things in an easier perspective for us. Is he right in that God has granted? No, there's no catch to it. Yes, he's right. Now, what is the problem in communication? He communicated to people that it is in his house. Without reality, that was a catch. What should a person have said? I prayed for furniture. The Lord has granted it. It is on the way. It's not unbelief. In fact, it's a greater testimony. When 5 days later, you tell them, come and see. I told you it's on the way. It has arrived. This is how I read it, therefore. Believe the Lord has granted, but you are receiving. It's working. Life is working. The moment you pray that prayer about that headache, God has answered it. However, the process of manifesting it comes different ways. There's no hard and fast rule. Sometimes you wake up next day, the headache is totally gone. Yeah. You are there praying at 12. You finish the prayer at 12:30, 12:40. Then you fall asleep. Maybe when you told him, examine it. He taps your head and he sends you to sleep. Cracks the head open. He removes the tumor, closes it back. You wake up next morning. Maybe after, you go late to work because you wake up so late. And you're totally fine. Totally fine. For some, you will say, you wake up next day. It's a bit better, but it's not gone. And as you are meditating, just realize that, that book on Catherine Kuhlman, have you read it? No. I believe in miracles. You take it, you read. I always prescribe materials for people when I'm praying for them for healing. You know why? They boost faith. They boost faith. So read that whole thing. Sometimes you keep reading, you finish the first book, pick the next book. By the time you are halfway through the third book, you have forgotten that there was a problem. You are enjoying the book. A month later, remember, there was a particular headache matter I took to the Lord. It's gone. You know why? Faith that was boosted in the heart drove it away. God works different ways. Sometimes you go to church next, somebody gives a word of knowledge. There's a brother here, sister here. You prayed about this 2 nights ago. The Lord said, come, I need to touch you. And you go, he places a hand on you. That jolt of anointing is needed to remove it. Another way, he answers. He meets us. See, you have to keep your faith built up all the time. Now, for some people, he will say, okay, fine. You wake up next day. For whatever reason, I'm not saying this is a perfect way, it just does that. What it removes is the fear. Because your dad has told you next day is coming to take you to hospital. Say, don't dodge him, let him come. And you wake up next morning, suddenly you're not afraid. So your dad comes there. Say, yeah, come, my friend is a head surgeon, let's go and see him. Go there. The other is scan, you go and do the scan. The doctor looks at it. He says, your head looks perfectly normal to me. How many hours have you been sleeping? He talks and talks and talks. Okay, take this tablet once every night for the next 1 month. See me at the end of 1 month. After 3 weeks, it's totally gone. Yet some say, whoa, there's something here. I need to remove it. But fear has been removed. Tell them, go ahead. Come to hospital next week. The guy comes to hospital next week. Puts him to sleep, removes it, comes back after some time, say, hey, you're fine. Everything is gone. A little bit of scar on your scalp, but it's okay. See me again in 1 month. You come back 1 month, fine. You come back 1 year later, you're fine. It's totally gone. It's still God that's healing every single one of this. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
See, don't ever think that doctor is good. Is that prayer that works?
Yes, sir.
Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
He just met some people at a certain level of faith. Please, what I've said is how you handle every problem in your life. Don't start thinking that you have finished praying. I hope you're getting my point. I've told you, please, doctor is not God. Though. There's a reason why they call it medical practice. Though. Medical practice. Not funny. If you have, we'll ever go to a mechanic that says mechanic practice. Ah, you want to practice my car? But the doctors have confessed. We don't know everything. Bring your head, let's add it to the list of things we have used to. I mean no insult, but I'm just trying to say that nobody is God. But when God anoints that hand, those hands, he will use it to cure somebody. Do you follow my point? Now, there's a story I've told many times about Ben Carson. A woman and her husband came and said, God said we should come and meet you that you are going to cure this boy. The boy had a terrible brain tumor. And Ben Carson was not intimidated by it, God said. But you know, at the end of the day, it was proven that God actually spoke to them. Because against his own better judgment as a specialist surgeon, their pressure made him take the boy to theater. But that was a key to unlocking a set of events that was going to cure the boy. When he took a bit, he saw the angry looking tumor. He took a bit of it away. And the thing shrank slightly. Enough for the radiologist to see that there was a thin line between the tumor and the vital part of the brain that no other doctor wanted to touch. That gave him confidence to go back in and clear the whole thing. A few hours later, a boy that had been unconscious for days and maybe weeks woke up. A few days later, he had to discharge them. He said, now let's start cancer treatment. They said, it will not be necessary. You have done what God said you should do. Ah. He said at that point in time, he could not argue with them because were it not for their pressure, he would never have gone to theater. He too had given the boy up to die. Take that risk. It's in that book I read the story. So by the time he was writing the book, years later, that young boy was still alive and well and growing. It was Gary Carpenter. One man of God said he had melanoma on his back, cancer of the skin, one of the things that kills white people a lot. His wife said, let us pray. Said, I can't pray, my faith is too low. Said, what can you believe God for? Said, let us pray. That it's not as serious as the other doctor said. Said, fine. They had a referral, so they went to a bigger hospital. Make a long story short. They prayed, God, let it not be as bad as they said. But that doctor, after checking everything, said, well, is it a melanoma? Yes. But it is not the type the other doctor said. It's a very mild type, a one we can cure. They booked him for surgery. They treated him, And he was totally fine. He was writing about it years later. Are you getting my point? The Bible said there are diversities of manifestations. It's all the same God. This is supposed to be part of our praying for the country. It should garden our land. When it comes to the land also, let me end it with that so they can fit perfectly. Learn to see, let's boost faith. See, let's talk about our country. God gave it to us. Now we own. That's Nigerian Pidgin English. Let's say it international English. It belongs to us. It's ours. It's our property. It's our responsibility. And we have to make tough decisions. That's our president. It's our responsibility. It's our own. Is that okay? If you want it, God will give you. Do you get my point? See, you are doing business. Learn to make requests of the Lord. See, Lord, last year, my total sales for the year came up to about $5 million at the end of the year. Ha! Lord, there are human beings who are doing $50 million now. This year, can we double the sales? Yeah. Say, Lord, I would like it to go up to at least $12 million. Okay, this year is ending now. But next year, please, I want it to go up to $12 million in today's Naira. Do you get my point? That is, I will change the valuation depending on how things are, depending on what I'm dealing with. Ask for specific things. We're having these problems in the office. Power failure is causing problems. If I have to use diesel, it eats a lot into... Lord, if I use this amount of diesel, my selling price will be high. And you know the way it is. People don't have a high purchasing... Talk like this. People don't have a high purchasing price. I wouldn't want this thing to be coming at 25,000 a unit. But if I don't get power matters sorted out, I will have to go up to that level. Father, help me with power. Yeah, say it like that. And start watching him give what the Bible calls hidden wisdom. He will give you wisdom. He has hidden wisdom for the upright. You get to work one day, somebody will just be passing, a friend will just be telling you, how are you doing? Say, you use how much this way a day? Say, things are serious. I use about 50 liters a day. Are you serious? Why? Then by the time he finishes talking, just talking to you there, he drops your consumption from 50 to 20. He'll just show this is what you are doing wrong. This area you don't actually need it. You know, the other day, you know, just joking here, playing with people. Not only everywhere. When this band A, where almost everybody in Enugu is, apart from some people, we don't know what's keeping them on band B, but... Do you know? I just started telling people simple things like, why is your AC on 16 degrees? And they're like, can it be anywhere else? If no testimonies I've got, testimonies. People say, sir, that thing you said. I said, no, now, what about your freezer? Why is it on 7 maximum? You are grinding your compressor constantly. You don't need it. What should I do? I said, turn it down. Put it on 2.5. Don't worry. Everything's going to be frozen. You are not after on band A now. Band A means you have 20 hours a day. You're free. You know, people come back. I tried that thing. Consumption drop overnight, 50%. I've heard it again and again. Guys, give me a witness. Just wisdom. Many people don't know it. They are throwing their money away, cranking up a freezer, burning off their units. They don't know. I have heard people save 50% of their energy consumption just on their, and that's for most small, if you're living in a flat and you're not burning ACs, most of your money is going to your freezer and your fridge. You'll be amazed. Wisdom that God will give you. And that's it. It's answering your prayer. Another time, somebody will just come and say, look, if you move to this particular source of energy, this is what you will use. Okay, it's going to cost you initially. Well, you can get a facility. No, wisdom will just come. Or God will literally just come, throw you into a band A. You know, for those of us in band A, it's still cheaper than this. Is that not true? Yeah. Some people, they are not sure. They don't like the name band A. You're not manufacturing now. If you really run a factory, you know this band A doesn't worry you because, man, before that time, na band diesel you deal, and you know how much it was. Yeah, God will just say, don't worry, I move into band A. Some people will be complaining you are too grateful because now it has dropped your energy consumption by more than 65%. And it's not normal. It's because you prayed. Today something made it happen. Eh? I called one of... do you know what I found out? Land in my on my street. The price went up by 65% between December last year and now. You know why? Because my wife prayed. Now, I'm not trying to sell land. No, that's not the point. She said, this is our area. The road is not good. She started praying. God, give us good road. Now, so this governor come. And he had made it a campaign promise. First few months after entering power, they get from that new artisan, almost to my house. Once, just go off my, from the last good road to my house is 30 seconds drive. Now, so the bad side is, all empty plots of land there. 65%. I'm not kidding. I talked to one of our brothers who's a lawyer today. Something later, we're talking about some things. He said, no, that one next to your house, I was there the other day. He said, the one, I said, no, they can't. He said, oh, God, they can sell it like that. Where I'm going, let's not talk about the price of land. Is that, why have you just kept on praying? See, this bad road there. I rebuke you, the name of Jesus. She didn't pray like that. I'm just kidding. But she specific, let me be honest with you. I used to say amen when she's praying, but I personally didn't have problem driving the bumpy one. But the woman didn't agree. And I don't have any shadow of doubt in my mind. That's how God does. He responds to such requests. If your house is too small and uncomfortable, stop complaining. It's not your wife's fault. Why do you keep on keeping your shoe here? Now she put inside small house. The shoe has now become a prayer point. It's not the shoe. Bro, you need a bigger house. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
And you know what? God will give it to you.
Amen.
All you need to do is what? Ask him. Ask him. Just ask. Lord, this house is too small. You know, God does things. I've never lived in a small house. As I came to Enugu, no, there's nothing for a small house. You know the reason why? It's not money. It's a heart. I said, God, I don't like. In fact, I'm kind of claustrophobic. And I don't like people running into my face. I get up in the morning. My children say, shift for me to pass, cross my leg. I get irritable. Do you get my point? I just get a bit. From day one, I lived in a 5-bedroom flat when I didn't have a son yet. I didn't have a child. I didn't have any, just my wife and I. Yes. And so when I had guests, there was a guest room. Which had a television. I have a law. I don't put television in my bedroom. But I put it in my guest room. So you come to my room. I don't even see you. Once you enter, you can stay there. You can't be in my face. From there, there was just me, my wife, and Akinlu. I moved to a 5-bedroom duplex. Guest room, always there. One day, one brother came to visit where we are living now. He said, I didn't believe in big houses until I came to visit you. Because my mom was around with my sister. My friend was around, although my children traveled that time. Okay? No, they didn't all travel. No. They were around also. But my mom was there, comfortable. For 2 days, I had a friend in the house. They had not seen each other. It was the third day she came. I said, your friend is in this house. Where is he? She now climbed and went and knocked. Oh, boy. I said, my mother wants to see you. Hello, ma. They had been in the same house for 2 days. So the guy said, I didn't believe in big houses until I came to visit you. He said, now I understand. I said, meanwhile, by the way, if I enter my room, I don't have to come out for the next 2 days. My bedroom is a football field. I can jog in there. I do some assault inside there. And that is not joking. It's the will of God. My gym equipment is inside there. Now, where I'm going about is that it was not money. It was a mindset. From the beginning, I said, Lord, I beg you. I said, Lord, I beg. From the very beginning, it's about praying. It's about praying. I remember once when someone wanted to sell us a house, Bishop just looked at this, he just said, sir, you will not like this house. Because all we saw was a plan. He could read the plan. He just looked at it. He said, sir, you won't like this house. I said, what do you mean? He said, you won't like it. I know you will not like it. He described it for me. Finally, he now used something to show me dimensions. I said, what? I said, I told you won't like this house. And really, I knew I would not have loved it. I don't know whether I get my point. He said, if you lack, what is the key to receiving? Ask. Ask and you shall what? Receive. You have not, why? He said, when you ask wrongly. You just go and ask anyhow. And that's what we're talking about. Ask properly. Don't ask amiss. If I didn't tell you about the kind of house I was living, we have known. I wasn't doing to compete with anybody. That's just the kind of person I was. And I am till now. It's not competition. When I wanted to buy my wife's car, the car she drives now, I said, let me buy this car. He said, no, I'm tired of this kind of vehicle. I said, all right. The guy now said, me and the guy helping me, we picked and picked, finally picked this. The particular model he suggested, and ahead of the money, I said, oh boy, you know, no. Go for the other one, slightly older. Or I said, it looks like a box. I said, don't worry, the engine looks not like a box, it looks good. But I think God just let me have mercy on her. I just woke up that morning. I just called the guy. I said, go for that newer model. I believe the Lord will give it to us. 1 hour later, I called him. He said, sir, I bought it. He told me the price. It was cheaper than the older model. It was cheaper. There's a long story about it. Just send me a picture. He said, he has this issue. I've called my guys. They said, this is not the problem. They'll fix it like this. I said, are you certain? He said, absolutely. Anyway, all of you have seen the vehicle. The point is that we got it cheaper than the older model. And that day I woke up. I remember I was in bed. I just called him. I called the guy Big Daddy. I said, Big Daddy, go ahead. Go for that particular model. I believe God will give it to us. An hour later, he said, done. I found a good one. I've locked the price. Come back, he said, we won the bid. 4 weeks later, the car was in Lagos. He buys from the U.S. But that morning, I just woke up. I said, no, God will give it to us. Take your chair. Kneel down. You have 5 minutes. If you want to stand, then we go ahead and stand. It's okay. Let your request sincerely. The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What do you want the Lord to do for you? Just 5 minutes. I'm not taking more than 5 minutes. That's even a long time. Just say, Lord, this is what I want you to do for me. I'm not competing with anybody. If it's fear that's in your heart, Lord, I want you to remove fear. I don't like traveling because I am afraid. Oh, this child worries me a lot. I wake up at night, I'm so concerned about him, about her. What am I concerned about? This, this, and that. Lord, I want to hand it over to you. Let it not be a concern for me because you are taking care of it. I need money. Or I have a problem I need to solve. Oh Lord, I should be working, I should be productive. Ask of him the name of Jesus. Give me a job, give me a business, give me a place where I will learn a trade. The Lord said, you need to stop grumbling. The person praying that last prayer point. You need to stop complaining. You have complained too much, and complaining has shut doors for you, against you, again and again and again. So you have to go now with repentance. Say, Lord, henceforth, I purify my mouth. This mouth will be full of thanksgiving. This mouth will be full of thanksgiving. Bear this in mind, nothing is impossible for God to do. Somebody needs to ask him for something that appears really difficult. One major problem people have is that they don't pray. They don't ask. They grumble, they whine, they complain, they gyrate, they groan. They don't make requests. They wouldn't even know if God has answered them. Say to the Lord, I come in the name of Jesus. And that's very important. You are not coming because of something that you did. You are not coming because of something that you have done. It's important, all those who are looking at your seed and your offerings, I think you should drop that now. Forget it. It's not the reason why God is going to answer this prayer. It's because of what you are doing. You are asking him sincerely, with a humble heart. You are saying, Lord, help me. You are saying, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's what you are saying. You will not allow my foot to slip. Say, Lord, that's why I've come, because you are my helper. Why have I come? Because you are the healer. With you, Lord, nothing will be incurable. With you, my Father, nothing is incurable. Which sickness can't you cure? What can't you diagnose? Some people have gone to hospital again and again. Doctors don't even know what is wrong. God knows what is wrong. and he can cure it. So tell him, Lord, sometimes he's going to correct you, but one way or the other, your answer will come. One way or another, your answer will come. What has been asked, waiting for all this while? Some people have labored. They have fasted. God said they have not really asked anything specific. They have sown seeds. So God said, I don't need your seed. It actually gets me angry. When it's as if you don't give me something first, I won't do something. So let's leave that seed. Be a giver. It's a sign of your faith. Continue being a giver. Another thing, don't promise anything except you are repenting. Now what I've said is very important. Don't promise anything. You can make promises like, Lord, if you give me this, I will like it. I will enjoy it. If that's what you call a promise, fine. Because the Bible says he richly gives us all things to enjoy. So that's not what I mean. All right? If you want to promise that, fine. But like, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. I will leave that thing. Don't bother. It's not necessary. Say, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus, knowing that as a father, you love me. If you have a problem with government, pray. He can solve it. You have a problem with your family member. You have a problem in your business. Or you're a student, there's a subject you don't understand. Just ask him. And then anybody tell you, say, there's no hope in this country. Say, Lord, I've come to ask you for hope. Or I've come to place my hope in you. After today, Lord, put the spirit of thanksgiving and joy in my heart. No fear. Take away my fear. Now begin to give the Lord thanks. I would say, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now begin to give thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I know you have heard me. This is the confidence we have towards him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Begin to give thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Say, my help comes from the Lord.
All right, let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you for this evening.